Lent is a time of conversion, a time of prayer, fasting, giving alms. Lent is this season where we have this opportunity to be renewed in our relationship with God. At St. Rose of Lima, we have a theme for all of the weeks of Lent: create a pure heart in me. And Annette, can we put that slide up just for the whole homily? Yeah, create a pure heart in me. This is our Lenten theme. It comes from Psalm 51, verse 12. Psalm 51 that I talked about on Ash Wednesday, which is a psalm of repentance and love for the Lord, penned by King David himself. And that's what we want at Easter. We want to come to Easter through these 40 days having allowed God to create a pure heart in each of us. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's not just talking about the organ inside of us. It's not just talking about our emotions either. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's trying to get at that deepest place of ourselves, the place where we abide, the place in which we dwell. It's a place that only God knows fully, because only God knows us fully. The heart is deeper than our psychic drives. It's the place of decision, where listening to our conscience, we choose either death or life. The heart is the place where we encounter the living God. Well, if that's what the heart is in the biblical sense, what's it mean to have a pure heart? If we want to receive a pure heart from God, what does that mean? Well, when we think about the word purity, we might think immediately of chastity or sexual purity. And that's definitely a big part of how Christians respond to God's law and live out the gospel. But purity in this sense is even more basic than that. This kind of purity has to do with a heart that is unified, a heart that is single-minded, a heart that's focused on one thing above all else, one single overarching concern that's not divided or scattered or polluted or contaminated. It's this one single overarching concern. That's what a pure heart is. As we think about these last few days and seeing what's happening in Ukraine, I think that one example, kind of in our modern times, of what that purity of heart looks like, that singleness of mind, we see in the president of Ukraine, President Zelensky. You know, everyone thought that within the first few days of the invasion that the country would just collapse and that its leader would flee and that its leadership would be replaced, but it hasn't happened yet, in big part because President Zelensky stuck around. You know, the U.S. offered to evacuate him via air whenever he wanted. Like, the U.S. government just said, hey, whenever you want to get out, you let us know. We'll send in a plane, a chopper. We'll bring you behind the safe borders of a NATO country. Just say the word. And maybe you read or saw that video where President Zelensky made his soon-to-be famous remark where he said, I don't need a ride. I need ammo. He chose to stay with his people, stay in the danger, switched from wearing a suit and tie to wearing combat fatigues, body armor, because his single overarching desire, his single overarching concern is the safety and security of his people and that his nation would not collapse. That's a kind of purity of heart. That's a kind of integrity. And the fact that he's doing that is ennobling so many other people to stand and be courageous, even summoning people back from other countries to come fight for Ukraine from Europe and North America. We can maybe use that example kind of in the news to also shed some light on what's happening with Jesus in the desert. Christ in the desert being tempted in the wilderness has a heart that is totally pure, entirely single-minded, more than any world leader. He has one single overarching concern. And what is that? It is God, his Father. Jesus loves the Father. The Father loves him. The Father is everything to him. And Jesus' concern is about the Father's will. The Father's will is that all of his children come home and be saved. And so Jesus carries out that desire. Jesus does not run from the fight. He doesn't ask to be extracted from the temptations. He doesn't ask to be evacuated out of this challenge. He chooses to go into it with the Father to carry out his will. And he keeps his heart pure for our sake as he goes through these combats in the wilderness. How does the devil tempt Jesus? There are a number of different ways we could look at these different temptations we just heard of, but I would say that at their core, every temptation is trying to make Jesus believe that he's alone, that the Father is not with him, that he has to depend only on himself, and therefore his pure heart has to be divided and scattered. Notice how the tempter begins speaking to Jesus. He says, "If you are the Son of God." He calls into question his relationship with the Father. He calls into question who he is and the Father's care for him. "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." The Father isn't here to provide for you. You've got to feed yourself. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. "Worship me and you'll have this power." The Father's power isn't with you. You've got to seize it for yourself. "Throw yourself down from the temple and the angels will catch you, because the Father isn't watching out for you. He's not protecting you. You've got to make him pay attention. You've got to force him to come and be close." Jesus' victory in the desert is, above all else, the refusal to let his heart become divided. And that's what the word devil simply means. Even the word sounds like divide. In the biblical language, it's diabolos, the one who splits, casts apart. He wants to divide Jesus' heart and get him to focus on something else or something besides the Father. But Jesus keeps his concern entirely on the Father, and he continues to trust the Father's presence with him, even in the midst of the spiritual combat. Jesus knows the Father will take care of him, even as his humanity is being stretched to its very limit in those 40 days of fasting and heat and lonesomeness. Jesus may be solitary, humanly speaking, in the desert with the wild beasts, angels ministering to him, and of course, the evil one, but he is never alone. His Father is always with him, never leaving him. Just like on the cross, the Father was not absent from Jesus at all. He was with him, and Christ was not alone. Jesus kept that purity of heart, that single overarching concern for the Father, and his trust that the Father was near him. And through that trust and confidence in the Father, he conquers the enemy. So what does that mean for us this Lent? What's that mean for us these 40 days? Well, if we want the Lord to create in us a pure heart, the most important thing that you can do this Lent is to remember that you are not alone. You are not alone. The tempter will try and tell you that you are. Renounce him. Resist that word. Resist those thoughts. You are not alone. When you're fasting, you might just want to say, "I'm just sick of this. I'm just so hungry. I just want to eat that thing on the table. I just want to shove my face with food." No, the Father is with me. He's enough. He feeds me. He will nourish me with what I need body and spirit. You're not alone. This Lent, when you pray, you might just want to throw in the towel because, hey, praying and meditating, it's not always easy. Sometimes it's very challenging. It can feel like the Lord is not with you and you're not with the Lord. But you're not alone. The Father is with you. His Spirit is praying within you, even if you don't feel it. And so I'm going to remember the Lord's words. I'm going to read his words in the Bible. I'm not going to leave his presence, even if I don't feel it. You're not alone. This Lent, when you give alms, meaning when you carry out acts of generosity for others, you might be tempted to cut corners, to abandon what you set out to do, to go back to your old habits. I know it's so easy for myself to make excuses like, I know it's Lent, but like I'm just so busy right now. I'm stressed out. I've got all these things to do. We sometimes think it's not possible for us to go beyond our comfort zone in generosity. But right there, you are not alone. The Father is with you. His abundance is with you. You can be generous because he will supply for all your needs. You're not just on your lonesome. The Father is with you. So this Lent, brothers and sisters, seek that pure heart. Ask for that pure heart to be created in you. Always remember the Father's unchanging love for you and that you are never alone. In these 40 days, we'll be tempted to think that we're all on our own, that we don't have help in our spiritual journey, that God just wants us to do it by ourselves, get this done. But the key to conquering the enemy is remembering that you are never alone. The Father loves you. The Father is with you, just as he was with Jesus. You are not alone.